It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Thursday, November 6th. I'm Patricia Naft. Election day was Tuesday, and KBNF's Jake Ryan has the results.
Two races that were watched around the nation resulted in Republican Representative Cory Gardner winning the U.S. Senate seat with 49% of the vote, and Democrat John Hickenlooper being reelected as governor, narrowly beating Bob Beaupre 46-48%. Out here on the western slope, U.S. Republican Congressman Scott Tipton was reelected with 58% of the vote. In State Senate District 6, which is Montrose, Ouray, and San Miguel counties, Republican Ellen Roberts ran unopposed. State Senate District 7 saw Republican Ray Scott with 71% of the vote. For the Colorado House of Representatives, District 54, which is Mesa and part of Delta County, elected Republican Eulen Willett with 54% of the vote. Grand Junction elected Republican Dan Thurlow to the House with 67%. In Montrose and San Miguel County, Republican Don Corum ran unopposed. And finally, for state representatives, Democrat Millie Hamner won District 61 with 52% of the vote. Ballot measures were also found across the state. Amendment 67, the personhood amendment, failed when 64% of Colorado voted no. 68, which would have expanded gambling at racetracks, was voted down with 71% voting no. Proposition 104, which aimed to bring transparency to school board negotiations, passed when 70% voted yes. The last statewide ballot measure, 105, which would have required labeling of food containing GMOs, failed when 66% voted no. There were also several local ballot measures that were decided yesterday. Marijuana was a heated subject in several communities. Palisade, Paonia, and the city of Ouray all were looking at legalizing the sale, etc., of retail weed. 51% of Palisade voted no, 53% of Paonia voted no, and 56% of Ouray voted no. The sheriff's race in Mesa County was also closely watched, but Matt Lewis won the position handedly with 70% of the vote. There was also a request from the Telluride School District for $27 million. It passed by a mere 24 votes. Several local governments looked to expand their ability to bring broadband to the area, and taxpayer Bill of Rights issues were commonplace. To learn more about your community, visit kvnf.org. I'm Jake Ryan.
And due to late ballot counting in Gunnison County, unfortunately, we still do not have the results for State Senate District 5. That's the race between Carrie Donovan and Don Supas. Currently, Carrie Donovan is winning with 48.85% of the votes and Supas with 46.93%. And the state representative for District 59, we don't have the results for that race as well. Currently, J. Paul Brown is winning with 50.34% of the votes versus Mike McLaughlin with 49.66% of the votes. We are waiting for results from Gunnison County to call the race for state Senate representative for District 5 and 59. Proponents of Colorado's genetically modified food labeling initiative were unable to secure enough votes in favor of Proposition 105. The campaign to quash the proposal drew criticism for its out-of-state corporate donations. KUNC reports that seed companies and processed food makers spent more than $15 million to defeat it. Chad Vortham is with the Colorado Farm Bureau, which also contributed to the No on 105 campaign.
The reality is campaigns cost money. And I'm really proud to say that groups like Smucker's, like Pepsi, stood shoulder to shoulder with the farmers that are growing their ingredients.
Proponents of the measure raised less than $1 million, leaving them unable to buy TV advertising. And finally, Governor John Hickenlooper has been reelected to a second term. He narrowly won reelection over Republican challenger Bob Beaupre in a race that was too close to call on election night. Yesterday afternoon, Beaupre conceded the race. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Many pundits were surprised at the intensity and closeness of the race, which wasn't called for Governor Hickenlooper until more than 12 hours after polls closed.
We want to thank Colorado. Thank you, Colorado. We owe it all to you.
Hickenlooper gave his victory speech at the state capitol early Wednesday morning. He says he's proud he ran a positive campaign, and he plans to continue governing from the middle.
Now is especially the time not to be complacent, not the time to kind of sit back and relax, right? Not to dwell on the wedge issues that too often divide us. It's that opportunity to come together as a state and seize this momentum that we have.
But momentum was clearly on the side of Republicans during the midterm election, and this was the toughest challenge of Hickenlooper's political career. Democratic Speaker of the House Mark Ferrandino, who was term limited, says the governor had to face some difficult decisions in his first term, such as when he temporarily delayed the execution of a convicted murderer.
When you're looking at the death penalty and Nathan Dunlap, he's taken some courageous stands on those areas and from personal, personal belief system, and I applaud him for that, but it's been tough.
During his tenure as governor, Hickenlooper contended with tragedies such as the Aurora Theater shooting and the state's most devastating wildfires and floods. But those issues didn't define the race. It was marked by public safety and the death penalty, which Bob Beaupre brought up in several of his debates with the governor.
My intention still is to raise a serious question about John Hickenlooper's failed record on public safety.
Others thought the stricter gun laws Democrats passed and the governor signed also played into the tight race. John Kruger is a Denver attorney. He grew up near Steamboat Springs, and his family has a cattle ranch in Craig.
There's a lot of gun owners out there, especially in the Western Slope, and it's a Second Amendment right, and I do own a gun and things like that. And I respected what Hickenlooper did. I thought it was the right thing to do. I just heard a lot of rumblings from the family and from different parts of the state that this might cost him.
Many political observers saw the race as a referendum on Hickenlooper and Democrats rather than support for Beaupre. Colorado State political science professor Kyle Saunders says this was one race the GOP wasn't able to capitalize on an anti-democratic and anti-incumbent mood.
He did survive what was a very, very strong Republican effort nationally, and I think that says a lot about his qualities as a candidate. It says a lot about his moderation. I think it plays very well in the purple state of Colorado.
In the end, Hickenlooper says the close victory won't change how he governs over the next 4 years, but some supporters hope it will, including Pete Maysmith, who is the executive director of Conservation Colorado.
I do think that there were some people that felt like he hadn't exhibited a strong leadership hand on a couple of key issues, and I would put the environment right up there.
Maysmith says many environmentalists feel Hickenlooper is too closely tied to the oil and gas industry, and he hopes during a second term, the governor prioritizes the environment.
I think that's something he needs to grab to point to hold on to and say, I need to use environmental issues as a real guiding light, and I need to do more there because those are the folks that helped me actually pull this thing out.
One issue that's sure to come up next legislative session is fracking. The governor created a task force to recommend ways to mitigate impacts to homeowners while still allowing drilling to take place. Hickenlooper says no one party has a lock on all the answers, and he looks forward to working with state lawmakers on the issue. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
If you have a story you'd like to hear on this newscast, please email us at news@kvnf.org. Up next, Tay and the Sweet Sound. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.